It's the How Games Make Money podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Grubb from GamesBeat.com. This is the show where I talk to people working in and around games and ask them, how does this business work? I try to put out a new episode every week, usually on Fridays. Sometimes, though, I'm just going to miss that. I'm ADHD as hell. On this episode, I'm talking with PC Gamer Editor-in-Chief Evan Lotti. Evan and his team are putting the finishing touches on the annual PC Gaming Show, which is typically one of the many showcases we get as part of E3. I wanted to talk with Evan about what it's like to put an E3 presentation together, especially one that isn't necessarily part of the marketing division of a major publishing corporation. We dive into that and much more. First, though, I want to thank you for listening. You can get more from me at GamesBeat.com. Email me about the podcast at jeff.grubb@gmail.com with the subject line, How Games Make Money. Or reach out on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Grubb. The podcast is at HGMM Show. Okay, it's time to get to Evan. As a reminder, the PC Gaming Show airs on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. You could find that on PC Gamer's YouTube channel. If you're about to watch that or already watched it, here's a conversation about what it's like to put that show together. All right, let's get right into it. Joining me now is Evan. Go ahead and say hi to everybody, Evan.
Hey there, Jeff. This is Evan Lotti from PC Gamer. I'm the global editor-in-chief at PC Gamer. I've been there for 12 years this year. Excited to talk to you today about one of our special events.
Yeah, so you've been doing this special event for a couple of years now, more than a couple of years, I think, the PC Gaming Show, as part of the umbrella of events that people would consider E3. Why don't we just, let's start from the beginning. How did the PC Gaming Show get started?
Really, this event arose out of our own dissatisfaction, I think, with there not being a formal presence for PC gaming at E3. I've been going to E3 probably like you since like the early 2000s. PC gaming has only gotten more exciting since then. It's only gotten more exciting since the time I've been at PC Gamer. I joined in 2008. For us, it is the most vibrant, the most interesting platform. We're biased, of course, we're enthusiasts. But there was never, like Sony, like Nintendo, like Microsoft, this kind of like singular moment where people got together to talk about PC gaming. It's one of the strengths of the platform, honestly, the fact that it's fragmented, the fact that anybody can have influence. It's an open platform, right? There's no single company that asserts control over PC. There are powerful entities for sure, but anybody can have an influence, start a website, launch a game. There's lots of distribution platforms, there's competing stores. So it's funny, like as early as 2012, we were writing comedic stories on our website on PC Gamer. And I think all these stories were titled something like the E3 press conference PC gamers deserve. And we were envisioning this like hypothetical, like Gabe Newell riding out on a unicorn through dry ice, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm,
of course.
And it was very over the top and silly, partly to make light of the fact that it's ridiculous that PC gaming doesn't have a stage, so to speak. But also, we had it in our heads in that moment that this is something that could really work.
This is something that you started to put together then. And I guess, what was that process like? When you go from, this is a good idea to then the execution, that seems like there's a lot of work involved there. Was that the case?
Yeah, it's been a learning process every year. This is our sixth year. And, this year we've been doing it pre-recorded, which is a different process for us. Mm-hmm. But at the outset, right, I think, we have to be super humble about it. We were a magazine company, and in 2015, the first year of the PC Gaming Show, somewhat of a internet company, PC Gamer has only had a website in its kind of current modern form since 2010. Mm-hmm. So we certainly didn't know anything about live events. We certainly didn't know much about live streaming this sort of material and like really doing it ourselves and owning that process. And Jeff, as like game journalists, we all love, and like frankly the industry at large, we all kind of love to participate in snark around E3, around mm-hmm. Sort of grading press conferences. And I think through this process of working on the show, we've built up tons of empathy for the folks who work on these sorts of events, because it is just the most difficult and complicated thing that we do all year. It requires communicating a million different details to hundreds of different people. in order to pull off. So I think, you know, getting more concrete about it, I think at the outset, you know, we knew what was exciting to us, what would be exciting to us, and that is stuff people had never seen before. That's, I mean, like you, Jeff, that's where your instincts lie as a reporter, mm-hmm. in part. You know, you want to have exclusives, you want to, you know, develop relationships with people in the industry and kind of use that to the benefit of your audience. So that's where we began. You know, we started to try, you know, we reached out to everyone we knew and we tried to see, you know, hey, do you have anything going on in June? There's a lot of work we had to do to just explain what the thing was to them, you know, and sort of justify it. And we ended up, you know, in the first year, we were way too long. It was a 2.5 hour show. You know, we didn't know the kind of intricacies of production. It was way bigger than we wanted. But I think in the process, we learned a lot of stuff. I was really happy with our host, our selection of a host as Day 9. We just love his kind of likable, friendly, relatable. You know, he's a former pro StarCraft player. He has like huge credibility to the audience. He's just a fun and interesting guy who is genuinely curious about games and genuinely wants to like, you know, has some like journalistic curiosity and you know, interviewing ability there that we like to exploit. So, yeah, but we learned like, you know, this has to be, we learned about like, how do you create an event, you know, a live stream of this nature that has like rhythm to it? You know, if you're just putting, you know, 5 minute interview after 5 minute interview, that's not a great experience for the audience. So we've learned, you know, how to design things a little bit more deliberately in that way. But, you know, we'll have to say like one of the differences between us and Nintendo and Xbox and, you know, the other folks that put together these kind of presentations during what is usually E3 is we have no control over the games and the developers and the people making those games. We can only sort of ask nicely, you know, for better material or a different trailer or, you know, what if you reveal this information?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it puts us at, I guess, a disadvantage compared to some of them. But, you know, I guess that's just all to say, right? Like our purpose is to be hopefully, you know, a decent and exciting showcase, you know, for what is just happening truthfully and what's upcoming in PC gaming, because we think it's awfully exciting.
That's such an interesting point. You can't be like, if, you know, the president of Nintendo, if they get, someone comes to them and says, this is what we're showing at E3, he can yell at them and say, do better. Go put together a better presentation. This isn't good enough. You guys just probably can't do that. That's not how this would work, right?
One of the ways that I phrase it to our participants is, it is not my job to direct your marketing.
Right.
You know, as a journalist, Jeff, like, you know that there's a really firm line there that we've developed, you know, hopefully through, you know, our job working on websites. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, it's against the policy of no one at PC Gamer can act as a consultant to any games company. So that's definitely where one of the lines exists for us. But at the same time, we have to advocate for our audience and what we know is most exciting to PC gamers. When we begin the process of kind of reaching out to everyone in the industry around January, honestly, just to kind of put feelers out there for who might have an unannounced game. You know, usually you know about this because, you know, a developer has gone quiet or mm-hmm. they've made a prior announcement but they haven't revealed gameplay footage or something. So we sort of develop a wish list of like, okay, well, of course, you know, of course we're going to reach out to the folks that made Darkest Dungeon. They've announced Darkest Dungeon 2. We care about the game. We've given it awards. You know, what's upcoming there, for example. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to reach out to Paradox. You know, they're really expanding right now and doing their own thing and, you know, going in some interesting directions. And from there, we just see what's available. We see what's possible. You know, we go back and forth with the developers. It's just weeks of those conversations and waiting to hear back. And eventually we start to develop, okay, which segments are definitely in the show? What format are they in? Are they a trailer? Are they an interview? Are they something different from that? And we start to, you know, just do the basic math of how long is this thing?
I was curious about the production side of it. Like, are you guys actually like the ones behind the switchboard, or do you hire out to another company and have them do it and you give them direction? How does that work?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've learned, we work with a couple different production companies since the show began in 2015. And right now we work with some folks called Paragon Creative Agency. Mm-hmm. They are fabulous. We work with them for the last couple of years here. they're based in LA and they work with folks like Blizzard on, you know, like the Hearthstone esports championships and lots of other stuff. But fundamentally, we found that it really helped us to, number one, not do this internally, because although, you know, our company, our parent company, Future, we've got video folks who are really talented and like really good at this. We also have events folks who can help us organize and budget and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, I think we really benefited by partnering with folks who kind of had that like Hollywood credibility, for lack of a better term, who really understood how to film, you know, how to set up microphones, how to build a set, you know, how to work with venues and theaters and stuff like that. But ultimately, folks that understood games deeply. You know, Paragon, our director, is a PC gamer. We were just talking last week while we were filming about our love for Command & Conquer and the, you know, the remaster that's out recently. We just really benefit from their deep understanding of what's going to excite the audience. You know, we don't have to explain that to a video production team, and that's really helped us out a lot. So yeah, you know, they are a huge part of getting this done. We pay them a lot of money to work this out for us and make it visually interesting and do the video editing and, you know, prep our hosts and everything from kind of setting up our green rooms to, you know, making sure that when folks are coming in years when we've had a lot of live event, you know, making sure that we have like security at the door and badging and stuff like that, which sounds simple, but, you know, you just get a sense of how complicated these events can become.
Yeah, what I hear there is a lot of costs involved with putting on a show like this. When you set out to do this originally, do you feel like you had a clear picture of all these complications and all these costs, or were there a few surprises in there?
Yeah, I don't know if we really knew the landscape of that. You know, it was kind of a small frontier for us, I guess. We had a sense that, you know, just watching other studios, publishers produce this sort of thing, we had a sense that these are like really expensive presentations. I mean, there's kind of a history of, I don't know, you'll see like symphony orchestras show up on stage, you know, with Sony and Jeff Keighley's events and stuff like that, which I think are very entertaining and like high production value. You know, the Game Awards is, what do they have, like three professional musicians last year, I think. Pretty darn good. So yeah, I think we've learned along the way. You know, we have to raise the bar every year as much as we can. I probably dedicate 2 months of my calendar to this event, which sounds insane.
So, I mean, the conversation about cost would lead into, you know, how do you pay for all of this? And I mean, you touched on it a little bit with the sponsors. How does that side of the equation work?
Fundamentally, the PC gaming show flows through our editorial organization. You know, we are making decisions about everything that's included in the show. So I'm very happy that we haven't created a situation where our commercial team, God bless them, you know, they're not dictating what runs in the show. You know, we knew really early that that would be a recipe for disaster because, you know, as much as like websites like ours, you know, we have stuff like sponsored posts and other kind of commercially supported material. it's different in the context of E3. You know, we know that, you know, again, kind of like referring back to that, you know, history and sort of like ritual of critiquing these presentations often like really harshly, you know, and like having fun with it. People have fun with it on Twitter and I think that's fun and good. But we knew that if we delivered a commercial to the audience, they would reject it. So our objective is just to be genuine, to be ourselves, and hopefully, you know, yes, like have a profitable thing. And that again, sort of distinguishes us from, I think, Sony and Microsoft. But we want it to continue to exist. We want this to be an event that has continuity and builds over time and, you know, gains its own following and develops a sense of style in its presentation and it has a voice. But, you know, hopefully it's noticeable, you know, if anybody's watched the PC gaming show, that it is not about us. It is not about PC Gamer. You know, we want to, I guess, celebrate, but, you know, more importantly than that, like elevate and curate games that we think are exciting, just like any other, you know, section of our website or a magazine. As you know, there are hundreds and, you know, annually thousands of PC games. It is, you know, a hugely saturated market. So I hope that we're providing a service to folks, not only in just sort of putting stuff on their radar and giving them a sense of what we're excited about, but elevating a couple of developers and helping them to, you know, gain following and find those fans.
That makes a lot of sense, Evan. But when I think of the other E3 shows, I think of companies that, you know, obviously this just comes out of their marketing budget. They don't worry about sponsors. They don't have to worry about anything like that. And when you guys put this together, it needs to at least pay for itself. I guess that could be the question. Does what you do here pay for itself, or is this more about a brand building thing? And it does end up costing you guys money in the end.
The event does pay for itself. We have, I think, grown a little bit each year since we started, and I think that's something to be grateful for. But I guess, you know, we're in a fortunate position again that, editorially we have total veto power. You know, we control the content of the show, and as much as, like, you know, we do get approached by sponsors, we vet them, and I think fundamentally we start from a place of, look, like, the currency of E3 is new stuff. You know, and even if we're not in E3 this year, the same concept applies. The audience is not going to be excited by stuff that they've seen before. So, you know, like, each year we're turning down stuff like, hey, our game recently came out. Can we show a trailer at your show? Like, well, the game's available. Yeah. You know, like, this is about what's in the future. It's about updates to existing games. Fundamentally, it's about stuff people haven't seen before. So that's our message. And we regularly turn away, I guess, those kinds of commercial opportunities. And, you know, I do my best to educate our commercial team. You know, I'm lucky that my hands are not directly in this part of the process. You know, our commercial team is out there kind of reaching out to folks like Intel and Epic Games and, you know, who are sponsoring the show again this year and have sponsored in previous years, and kind of educating them about the opportunity and, you know, the fact that segments are often quite short in the show because we want things to have everybody benefits, you know, when it's that way. If you're coming on the stage and delivering a 10-minute PowerPoint presentation, that's not going to be well received. So I think now that we've had a few years, you know, this is our sixth year, we've been able to educate people on that. And I think there's a greater understanding kind of across the people that we speak to about what this event is and what the purpose is and how you participate.
So much of gaming now is live service stuff. So much stuff is updates for very popular games that already exist. How do you sort of balance the line to make sure that is just as exciting as a completely new game?
I guess we believe that, just as we do on PC Gamer, you know, we treat existing games as just as kind of valid, just as interesting as stuff that hasn't released yet. You know, on PC Gamer, we have a process of we consider it kind of beat writing. We assign what we consider to be, like, the most exciting topics of the moment or games of the moment for individual writers to follow, and they're kind of expected to listen to those communities and contribute stories and ideas on them. So I guess we should sort of begin from a place that fundamentally games like, I don't know, Overwatch and Call of Duty and PUBG, and, you know, they're really updating monthly or annual or weekly, even in most cases. You know, those are games with entrenched audiences that, you know, are valuable to us to the extent, you know, that we want the show to have a large audience. We want people to tune in and be interested. So I guess I can only say that we treat those as equal.
And it makes sense at this point, right? I mean, people are putting so much time and money into those games that they are equal. In some cases, that's what people prefer to play. So is that the kind of thing where companies try to come in as, like, sponsors and say, hey, you know, we're going to sponsor you. We want to get the, you know, the prime spot here. Is that something you guys still are dealing with?
Yeah, you know, certainly we listen to a lot of different inquiries that we receive through our commercial team. And I think there's a few different considerations we make when designing the show. You know, first of all, there's a ceiling on which how much sort of what portion of stage and how much time somebody can receive on stage. You know, we're not going to give up 30 minutes of the show to somebody. That's not going to, it's not going to work for anybody. Right. Even if, like, hypothetically that put us in a good financial situation, like, fundamentally we have to stay true to our objective of presenting PC gaming in, like, a truthful, enthusiastic way. And I guess, let me add, you know, not as a slight or criticism, you know, we got a lot of criticism last year. While, you know, there's a lot of negativity around the Epic Games Store, which I'm sure you saw and were aware of, Jeff.
I am completely unaware of it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was just kind of lurking there in some obscure corners of the internet. But to us, right, it was just important to allow to the stage an organization that was changing our hobby. You know, a huge competitor with lots of, you know, bankroll behind them in terms of, you know, that originated from Fortnite and was spending it to secure these exclusives. who else but them has a strong, big message, you know, and potentially mm-hmm. big news. So we felt it was something that PC gamers needed to hear, even if, you know, many of them didn't want to hear it in the moment necessarily. But again, you know, editorially, the show is passing through us. You know, we're making the key decisions about what's going to be interesting to the audience. You know, we're often talking down certain participants. You know, they'll come at us, and of course they'll be enthusiastic and say, hey, we can do an interview with this person, and we can do a 5-minute interview, and we can show, you know, 10 minutes of gameplay footage. And, you know, we know that so many of these shows, they have to be highly digestible, they have to be fast, and you know, the attention span of the audience is often limited in the context of E3, and we have to respect the tradition of that and produce something that is digestible and interesting and fun moment to moment, hopefully.
From the outside, it would seem like it would be difficult to balance, you know, this company is a sponsor. We know how that's going to look. But also they do have news. I mean, you put it really well. Like these are companies that are changing the industry in something like Epic. I guess, you know, how much does that public perception weigh on you in terms of how you decide to structure the show?
I see what you mean. You know, certainly, I guess we try to treat as our, you know, our center of focus being an enthusiastic showcase for the show. Each year, I think we've showcased some amazing independent games. And in fact, I want to say that this year, you know, we've got dozens and dozens of games in the show. I want to say that most of them, majority of them probably are independent games, which I think is great. It's a great reflection of what's happening in PC gaming. So I don't know, you know, there's Jeff, you know, like you, you know, like our other peers in the gaming community and gaming journalism, you're going to get criticism kind of regardless of what direction you go in. There is, you know, unfortunately, an air of suspicion and skepticism among some readers. And, you know, I think we listen to that and we see that, but we're not going to sort of change our approach based upon that. You know, we believe that this event, you know, again, getting back to those kind of humorous hypothetical pieces we were writing in 2012 and 2013 each year, you know, we felt what it was like to not have PC gaming in this official capacity. You know, we just believe in the idea that everybody coming together is kind of cool. You know, it's sort of like fan fiction. You know, one year we had Warren Spector on stage. I think this was 2016. And just, you know, he was like up there in his sweater vest, just like delivering a positive message about PC gaming, about the platform, about what's nice about it, you know, and someone who's had a huge role in that and perspective on that. And we're like, you know, like looking back at that moment in the show, like maybe we wouldn't have done it that way, but like it was at least sincere and like, I guess we just think about like, you know, we write about PC gaming every day and we want to hear people talk about it. Like it's a real tangible thing, you know, the Xbox, like it's, you know, the Xbox and, you know, these other various platforms, they have branding, they have commercials, they have, you know, marketing. And it's not that we're envious of that. It's just like, we think PC gaming is so dynamic and amazing. And it's driven by modders, you know, who are like spectacular people that are, you know, founding new genres before our very eyes. And like, somebody had to say that out loud, you know, because it's so true. And we need to be at the biggest stage and during the biggest moment of the year and say that, proclaim that, like, yes, like as evangelists, you know, as you can probably sense in my tone here, PC gaming is amazing. Like it's on this upward trend. It's only getting more popular, more interesting. It is where you should be if you want to experience, you know, stuff at the fringes, not just like the most mainstream big games too. You know, it is where you get access to art games and, you know, games that will challenge your political sensibilities and, you know, experimental VR projects. And, you know, our show can't contain every piece of that all the time, of course, but, you know, hopefully we are at least casting a light on some of that.
Now, Evan, I don't want to scare you, but there's a global pandemic happening. I'm not sure if you're aware.
Let me write that down.
It's changed a few things about how a lot of stuff works. And I think the PC gaming show might have been involved in that the last several years since the beginning. You did this as a stage show. You described how that worked. You've had to move to a digital event. What has that transition been like?
It's been a really interesting challenge. You know, I certainly have not done this alone. We have a huge team of just dozens of people across our company future helping us navigate this, you know, lawyers, you know, help us figuring out our, like, the deposit that we put down on a venue. Last year we were in the Mayan Theater, which we really love, but, you know, those venues aren't open this year, as you said, and E3 isn't happening this year. So what are we doing? And just Jeff, as you've documented very nicely on Twitter, you know, E3 is kind of exploded into a million pieces. It's fragmented.
It has.
And everybody's sort of, you know, doing their best to find their own way and assert control and, you know, put a flag in the ground. And I think that's a normal reaction to some extent. But for ourselves, you know, we decided that, you know, we would shoot this year in a soundstage in Los Angeles. Our production company, Paragon, you know, we're lucky to have access to a set through them right where they exist in Burbank. So we designed this like really fun kind of like, we're calling it like a gaming lair. You know, it's sort of like an overdone gaming setup for day nine to sit in. And it was really important for us to work with both hosts, who we both love, you know, Frankie Ward and Day Nine. We think they're just kind of a good, you know, duo that plays off each other well. So one of the guys on our team in the UK who designs motion graphics, we had him set up a green screen studio because he does photography in his garage. So we shot Frankie in one of our editors, essentially garages, to film her segments. You know, she's setting up certain trailers and delivering kind of certain pieces throughout the show. And we could sort of stitch that together to create this kind of fun back and forth between them. But, you know, I think in the process, we learned that, you know, just like Nintendo Direct, that's certainly a model for us a little bit.
Right.
It's nice to have control over every fine detail and not be doing everything live. I mean, there's advantages to both. I think there's not one right way to do it. But we've learned that, right, it allows us to script things more, I don't know, more carefully, or, you know, to have a greater sense of humor in the show. And I feel like an absolute, it's really weird to be being interviewed like this right now, because I'm so used to game developers holding back information, and I'm sorry that I'm holding back a piece of information, Jeff, but we did put together a secret host for this year's show that I hope people will be entertained by, inspired by some kind of classic television that we love.
Okay, so it sounds like a lot of work. But it sounds like you guys have figured it out this year. Going forward in the future, next year, if everything opens back up, if everything goes back to normal, will you do a live show again, or maybe stick to this, or can you possibly know that at this point?
That's a question that's like right in the center of my brain right now. I think we're going to learn what the audience reaction is. We have to listen to what people want, and what they kind of respond to. Again, I think we were just recording in Los Angeles last weekend, and I got to tell you, it was really challenging to cope with that, you know, with what's happening in the world, and kind of make adjustments to that, and being sure that our show expresses a measure of at least sensitivity to that, and while still being, you know, a fun moment, hopefully, on people's calendar to, you know, for them to engage with games. But yeah, I don't think we know yet. Certainly, again, in this sort of mission of being an honest showcase, we want press, and, you know, historically we've invited press, you know, people that are ostensibly our competitors in some ways, to our event, because we want them, you know, we know it's challenging to cover stuff in the context of E3. We want to give them access to, like, the information that we have, you know, to set stuff up ahead of embargoes, and we want to be a good partner in that way. But with this pre-recorded event, I've really enjoyed the level of video production that we've been able to achieve. You know, I've been able to watch the show. I just watched it through last night in its entirety, and give just detailed feedback on the interview questions that we asked, and, you know, our transitions, and, you know, how stuff is flowing together, and, you know, how Sean and host, you know, and Frankie, our host, are presented. So I think as an editor, I want to edit. I want to, you know, get everything right and make everything perfect. But certainly there is an authenticity to being live, and there's sort of just the tradition of that within E3. So I think we'll also be looking to what the other presentations do this year, and how they respond to it, and how that is all received.
Excellent. Evan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. It's fun to talk about this event. It's a really unusual thing. You know, I went to school as a print journalist, and now I'm like, you know, sitting on a set with like a director, mm-hmm. you know, giving lines and stuff like that. It's been sort of a weird growth moment for me. But hopefully, you know, this year and, you know, over the past 6 years of the show, we produce something that folks enjoy and is honest what's happening in PC gaming. And, you know, we just look forward to learning more throughout the process.
Yeah, I'll say for any time there is that snark and that skepticism, once the show is over, you know, no one's left with like a bad taste in their mouth when they're watching the PC gaming show. I think you guys do a really good job of actually delivering on exactly what you're trying to deliver on. And it's really impressive. Why don't you tell people how they can watch the show? This will be going up before, so people could still watch it. So go ahead and do that.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, so we're going to be on Saturday, June 13th. At 11 a.m. Pacific, which I guess is 7 p.m. UK time, just to give a little bit of a spread of the time zones there. People can learn more at PCGamingShow.com, but they can also just watch either on the Twitch front page during that time on the 13th or at twitch.tv/PCGamer.
And do you want to tell people how they can find you if they want to follow you?
Thanks. Yeah, I'm over on Twitter at elotti.
Thank you so much for everybody for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next week. Until then, have a good one and goodbye.